Woke left-wing singer Macy Gray says it's time for a new American flag. The Democrat Fort Lauderdale mayor cries wolf after a parade accident. Plus, border czar Kamala Harris gets called out for not handling the border. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great Father's Day weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with left-wing singer Macy Gray, because like Colin Kaepernick, one, she thinks she's still relevant, and two, she's got this thing for the American flag. Now, Colin Kaepernick, he disrespects the flag by kneeling. Macy Gray, she wants to get rid of it altogether. She wants a new American flag that all of us can honor, which is an amazing statement because there is no all of us with the radical left. There are only those in compliance and those who need to be shunned, blocked, banned, or canceled until they come into compliance. The left spends all its energies trying to divide people, and yet Macy Gray thinks a new flag will magically bring us all together. And here's the story. Singer Macy Gray says it's time for the dated American flag to be replaced due to the January 6th riots at the Capitol. The woman who penned I Try now says it's time to give up on uniting the population around Old Glory. Ms. Gray made the commentary in an op-ed titled, "For Juneteenth, America Needs a New Flag That All of Us Can Honor." The memo was received. "The American flag is the Confederate flag's replacement," she wrote Thursday. "The American flag has been hijacked as code for a specific belief. God bless those believers. They can have it. Like the Confederate, it is tattered, dated, divisive, and incorrect. It no longer represents democracy and freedom. It no longer represents all of us. It's not fair to be forced to honor it. It's time for a new flag." This is so typical of the radical left. They divide in the name of unity. And now she's comparing the American flag to the Confederate flag, dated, divisive, and incorrect. You know what's divisive? Dividing people by race from critical race theory. You know what's divisive? It is getting rid of accelerated learning programs because the ethnic and racial makeup aren't what the left says it should be. You know what's divisive? Getting rid of police, defunding the police who are there to promote law and order and unity. That's what's going on. That's what's divisive. And here's more. Ms. Gray then focused on perceived flaws with the stars and white stripes of the flag. Specifically, the R&B singer takes issue with the lack of statehood for the nation's capital and Puerto Rico. "On to the stripes," she continued. "The Smithsonian documents that the white stripes represent purity and innocence. America's great. It is beautiful. Pure, it ain't. It is broken and in pieces." She concluded by saying the way to a more perfect union is for a reset. "We have changed, and it's time for a reset, a transformation," she wrote, "one that represents all states and all of us." Well, friends, America is stronger than the woke left realizes. Americans, sane Americans around the country just want to live peaceful lives. They just want to enjoy freedom in America. Whether they are black, brown, white, yellow, red, it doesn't matter. They just want to live their lives. And here's the thing. It was those carrying the American flag that fought in World War II for worldwide freedom. It was those carrying the American flag that defeated bin Laden. And it was those carrying the American flag that fought to free the slaves. It wasn't some other flag. It was the American flag. It represents peace and freedom, not just in our country, but throughout the world. So, Macy Gray, she can go join Colin Kaepernick on the junkyard of irrelevance. We are going to move forward and push for freedom. And I guarantee the American flag is not going to change. All right, next, let's talk about what's going on in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, next, let's talk about Democrat Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trentalis, because we might as well stay on this theme of people who don't know what they're talking about and people who seek to divide rather than unify. You've got all of that in one guy, because this past weekend, there was a gay pride parade in which a truck rammed through a bunch of people, killing at least one and nearly hitting Democrat Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Well, Trentalis was on the scene, and he was quick to assign blame and to stoke division. And here's the story. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trentalis is facing backlash for calling a deadly crash at a pride parade in the Florida city a terrorist attack against the LGBT community before all the facts emerged. I hope Dean Trentalis gets sued and then removed from office or defeated. Government officials shouldn't be able to accuse someone of terrorism so flippantly without facts, conservative author David Raboy wrote on Twitter. Yep. So before this Democrat mayor had a clue about what was going on, before he had any facts whatsoever, he was out there seeking to divide and assigning blame, calling it an attack, calling it a terrorist attack against the LGBTQ community. That's what he was saying. Then, of course, he got in front of the microphone, got on TV. Here's Trentalis describing the events.
The parade had just begun, and we saw people lining up, ready to move, and all of a sudden this white pickup truck dashed right through the crowd, barely missing Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz's car by inches, and just dashed, cut through, smashed through a gate, smashed into a landscaping company, and he hit two people on the ground.
So that's his account of what he saw. Then, of course, the reporter asked him for an assessment, for a conclusion. And without any facts whatsoever, without any analysis, without any investigation, he was more than happy to assign blame.
What does this appear
This
to
was
be?
A terrorist attack against the LGBT community. This is exactly what it is.
You don't think this was an accident?
Hardly an accident. It was deliberate, it was premeditated, and it was targeted against a specific person. Luckily, they missed that person, but unfortunately, they hit two other people.
A terrorist attack against the LGBTQ community. That's what he was saying. Deliberate, premeditated. Wow, he had all the facts together, apparently. But by Sunday afternoon, he was singing a different tune, stating things just a little bit differently. Here's a statement that was issued to Fox News. I reported what I saw to law enforcement and had strong concerns about what transpired. Concerns for the safety of my community, Trentalis said. I feared it could be intentional based on what I saw from mere feet away. Law enforcement took what appeared obvious to me and others nearby and investigated further, as is their job. As the facts continue to be pieced together, a picture is emerging of an accident in which a truck careened out of control. Yep, it looks like it was an accident. Of course, they're going to investigate further, but it looks like it was an accident. But you know what really bugs me? You know what really bugs me in his Sunday statement of all the phrases? It's that he said he feared it could be intentional. Give me a break. Could be? He didn't act it like could be at all. With no evidence, no facts, he acted like judge and jury. He went in front of that camera and said emphatically that it was a terrorist attack, deliberate, premeditated. And now later on, he says, yeah, it could have been. That's what I thought. It could be something bad. No, he jumped on the chance to divide rather than unify, stoke these fears, these angers, rather than bring people together, or at least wait for an investigation. Waiting 15 or 20 minutes would have told the story. But no, not for someone like that that wants to divide rather than unify. All right, next, let's talk about Kamala Harris, because she is back in the news. There are 56 House Republicans who have had enough of the border czar not addressing the border, not handling the border. They have drafted a letter to President Biden saying she needs to go. We need someone who will actually handle the border crisis. And here's the story. Republican Wisconsin Representative Glenn Grotham is leading the charge, noting on Twitter that Harris has yet to visit the border. Harris was tapped by Biden to lead the administration's response to the border crisis in March and has faced bipartisan criticism for avoiding the border. The administration, in turn, has declared that her job is solely to focus on the root causes of migration. Harris, meanwhile, has repeatedly dodged questions about visiting the border. The root causes of migration. Give me a break. Folks, that's like debating the merits of wood versus metal on the structural integrity of a boat while it's sinking. Fix the leak first. And it's fine to talk about root causes if one, they were actually serious about addressing those as well, which they aren't, and two, if we had a secure border, which we don't. And here's more. The Republicans, which include Representatives Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Louie Gohmert of Texas, and Jody Heiss of Georgia, expressed serious concerns regarding Harris's appointment as the administration's leader in solving the crisis, according to the letter. Despite being in the midst of a border crisis this country has not seen in two decades, Vice President Harris has not yet shown adequate interest in observing this crisis firsthand, the lawmakers wrote. In the 85 days since the vice president has been tasked with solving this crisis, she has yet to visit the border and meet with Border Patrol agents, ICE officials, and local law enforcement officials. It's now 90 days since Harris was assigned to be the border czar. 90 days, no press conference, no addressing the actual problems at the border. But hey, she did give us this.
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Illegal border crossings are at a level that we have not seen in over 20 years. The surge in fentanyl is out of control. And yet our border czar tells us she hasn't been to Europe either. Think about that one. All right. Next, we're going to talk about Democrats like Ted Lieu, who are upset. They are outraged because the Catholic Church is actually sticking to the Catholic faith, calling out politicians who won't stand up for the sanctity of innocent human life. Before we get into that story, I just want to say this past week, I was at the University of Notre Dame. I'm midway through my degree in theology, and it was just an absolutely awesome experience being there with fellow students who are just amazing. I want to share a few pictures with you to just show you the location. And these folks, they are so great. I want to give a special shout out to Tony and to Warren and to my friend Jen and, of course, Rick and Jay. Brother, I am with you. Those folks are fighting for the cause because I see the left going more and more against religion. We see it. A Christian baker can't even bake a cake. People can't stand up for traditional marriage. If you want just girls and girls' sports, you are the one who is called out. And I have no doubt that we'll soon be seeing YouTube banning videos for people simply talking about their religious beliefs. That's why I'm there, to get a better grasp, a better understanding of what's going on. But back to Ted Lieu. Here's his story. Representative Ted Lieu went on a rant this past weekend against the Catholic Church, calling U.S. bishops hypocrites and nakedly partisan for seeking to update communion guidance that could rebuke politicians like President Biden and Speaker Nancy Pelosi for supporting abortion policies. Lieu then dared the church to deny him communion for his political beliefs of supporting access to abortion, the right for couples to divorce, same-sex marriage, and treatments for infertility. That's right. Apparently, this Democrat is now the keeper of the faith, the go-to person on matters of religion. And here's his tweet. Dear USCCB, I'm Catholic and I support contraception, a woman's right to choose, treatments for infertility, the right for people to get a divorce, the right of same-sex marriage. Next time I go to church, I dare you to deny me communion. The arrogance of this guy is just mind-blowing. And notice how he phrases everything in terms of a right. The right to do this, the right to do that. In other words, Lieu wants the right to call himself a Catholic without actually being a Catholic. And here's more. The Twitter rant is a result of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, voting overwhelmingly last week to draft a formal document on the meaning of the Eucharist after a contentious debate on whether Biden and other politicians who support abortion policies are worthy of receiving communion at Mass. So, good work by the USCCB. I hope it continues. And please note that this is not limited to the Catholic Church. My partner in this last class is a Baptist preacher, and he was telling me that this is going on in the Baptist leadership as well. The left is trying to infiltrate with their left-wing woke garbage, and we have to fight back. We have to be vigilant. They've taken over entertainment, the media, big tech. They're going after religion as well. We need to be the ones to fight back. Folks, That's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thanks again for tuning in. Our next show will be Wednesday at the same time. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.